Welcome to Broad Ideas. Today we have Colton Underwood, former football player, TV personality, best known for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, probably one of the most well-known of the franchise. He has his new podcast, Daddyhood. Let's welcome Colton, who did not hop a fence during this interview.
Sometimes when the world feels insane, you can take a little peek inside of Rachel's little brain. All these thoughts are swirling round and round inside. So join us on this journey as we take a little ride. We'll talk about dogs and kids and things. We'll talk about chicks and tampon strings. We'll talk about boys that'll make you cry. We'll talk about death, 'cause people die.
Oh my gosh. Colton, yeah. I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of yours because I am a Bachelor. I know, but yes, I tend to watch The Bachelor from time to time.
There's a lot of people. People are a little sheepish, but they're like, I've watched, and I'm like, I mean, Jen Aniston is like one of the biggest fans.
What? I didn't know that.
She put my season in one of her Netflix movies.
She did?
It was so cool. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's like, hello, I've made it.
She's always was like my celebrity crush growing up too.
Everyone.
So. Me too.
We keep coming across that.
How gay, many? Straight, bi, they're
oh,
all.
No. It's all Jennifer Aniston.
We played this game with these young guys and we were like,
who sounds really weird.
We play weird games with the young guys. Yes. Welcome, Colton.
I love this podcast already.
But we were like, okay, well, who's your celebrity crush? And like, who would you pick? Blah, blah, blah. They were all like Jennifer Aniston.
Two out of the three said Jennifer Aniston.
And we're like, but she's not even your generation. And they're like, she's the one.
Yeah.
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 You know, she's got really good energy.
She does.
She does.
Like, even though she's a female, like, she has like that boss. Like, the guys are like, she's like, feels like a guy's guy, but then she's a girl and like this strong, independent, powerful woman.
Yeah.
So
I love her.
She's also funny as shit.
She's funny as shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed walking in, my doormat says, I mean, no, it, whatever. It says,
I thought you were going
to say. I didn't pay much attention to the doormat, but I will on the way out.
Well, naturally, doesn't everybody?
I thought you were going to say, I don't know if you noticed walking in, but so am I.
Oh. Yeah. That too. But it's like a deliveries or Ross and Rachel on a break, and one side says yes and one side says no.
That's funny.
It's all, you know what?
So your deliveries get to choose a side every time.
They do.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mostly they say no. Yes.
They say they were on a break.
Yeah.
I agree.
I do too.
I do too.
I do too.
People have issues with that when you agree.
Yes.
But I fully
agree.
Well, yeah, because they're rooting for them so hard.
So hard.
I think that's what lets people, like, clouds their judgment.
Yeah. So you watched Friends?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We're cool.
I was a big Chandler fan.
That
was my spirit animal, for sure.
Oh, you were a Chandler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. We always do those games, like, who are you in this show? Like, what character are you in Sex and the City?
Yeah.
Do you
what a time. I don't watch Sex and the City.
Yeah,
my husband does, but I don't.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
It's a good time.
It's a good one for me again, too, though.
Yeah, I think it's time.
It's time.
And you've arrived.
Love it. Here we go.
I know. Let's get into it.
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, watched you on The Bachelor, obviously.
Yeah.
That's where it all started. You played football. Like, that was like the biggest thing they would say about you. I feel like that was like your blurb.
Yeah, they had I always say like America met the ABC version of me. They had like me down what they wanted to market me and promote me as, and it was the football player virgin. And I was like, cool.
Football player virgin.
That's what you're going with.
Right.
Here we go.
They really went with it.
Yes, they did.
But those things were true, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. So it was, but I didn't want it. Like, I wasn't overly thrilled that they were leaning into my virginity, because like there was obviously it was a very complex thing where I hid behind my faith a little bit, but also I could never like fully explain to the viewers, like there would have been no space for women to watch me and be like, I'm a virgin because I'm questioning my sexuality. That was never an option in my brain. And also I don't think ABC would probably have wanted that as like for where the show is at and what its fans are, so.
But they should have. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how interesting would it be for people to be transparent and honest and like, you know, relatable, I'm sure, to so many people watching. I feel like your most infamous thing, That was when, yes, when you hopped the fence.
Jumped the fence, yeah.
Yeah, in yeah. that season. It was like clearly some lot was going on.
Explain. Yeah.
Can you please
set Well, it the funniest thing is after I came out, all of the gays were like, we should have known you were gay with how dramatic you were in your show. Because I like quit the show.
They were like, girl,
we knew when you jumped that fence and quit the show in the most dramatic way ever.
It was so dramatic and epic.
There was just something that was happening like behind the scenes. And I was like, basically like, yo, if she ends up breaking up with me, I'm done with the show. So like, if you're planning on doing this to me, then like, you don't have a show. And I like left and... Yeah, it was a long, but I ended up coming back to finish it. But I was basically like, you can't do this.
He jumped a very high fence.
High drama.
Yeah. It was in the Portugal countryside. I was running around at night evading production. It was magical.
Why'd you do that?
There was a lot going on in my life, if you can imagine. A lot of thoughts going on and I was trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And then you left with someone at the end of the season and pursued it and did
tried
all
it
that.
And then went through COVID and had a mental breakdown and it was really bad. It was a really hard time in my life, and like a lot of people through now years of therapy, I mean, it was for the first time in my life I couldn't run. So I was very good at flying, so fight or flight. I always would fly just onto the next project, to the next thing, over the fence, just get me out of the situation. I'm gonna go put my energy somewhere else. I never really fought or stood up for myself. So I went through a really rough patch, moved back to Colorado during the pandemic and got help and got off medication, and my family really supported me.
On or off medication is what you said?
Off medication.
Okay.
Yeah, I was abusing it, my anxiety meds.
Okay.
So, I just needed help, and I finally got it. And then through, my therapy and my meetings with my psychologist, I started the coming out process to myself and to that.
To yourself. So you hadn't even.
I had to come out to myself first because it was going to take a lot to like. Yeah. So I came out to myself, and then I came out to my publicist because who doesn't in Hollywood? I mean, there was just, how the industry is. There was some photos that people claim they had. It was a thing. Part of the machine. My publicist was a gay man who really helped me as well. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. So, It's been a journey.
I would love to know what that was like, because I know, we've talked to so many people in different stages of coming out, right?
Yeah.
And when you say you came out to yourself during that period of time, what was it like before when you went to do The Bachelor? Did you think you were straight, or what was that process like? Like, what came into your consciousness where you were like, oh no, this is the reality of what's going on?
Great question. No, I didn't think I was straight. I hoped that I was straight. Mm. Like, I prayed that I was straight. I was like, everything I did leading up and even on The Bachelor was to make myself straight. Mm. And I was like so convinced that like, once you get a girlfriend, once you get engaged, once you have a wife, you won't have these desires anymore. Once you have kids, you definitely can't, cheat on her and go outside of your, like, I just, which is a toxic approach to it, but I was basically like, the further along I get with this means that I can't do that.
Right.
And obviously that's not how it works, but that was sort of how I convinced myself.
Right. And you grew up in a religious household.
Yeah.
Right?
I grew up in the Catholic Church and playing football and wanting to be a dad. And like those three things really, it hits you really early on that, or at least for me it did, that I couldn't be gay and have those, because there's not a lot of representation in football with gay men. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Obviously the church has a long history of problematic things towards our community. It's organized and structured religion. I still am a Christian and a man of faith. It's just not in a organized, structured way.
I love that.
Yeah. It's been fun. The coming out process for me has been a really cool, complex layers of what parts of me do I get to keep and what parts do I get to grow.
Right.
And that's been like the coolest part in this.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I also feel like it takes, yes, I understand that whole process, but I also think it takes a lot of courage to be gay and come out as Christian.
Yeah.
I love that you're like, that's the organized religious aspect, but I still have my faith. And that is a different thing than we're used to hearing.
Yeah. I had a whole therapy session actually dedicated just to that. Cause I said to my therapist, I said, I'm so nervous. If I come out as gay, my Christian community is not going to want me. And if I come out as Christian, the gay community is not going to want me a part of it. Like, cause they really are like they don't mix.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do I do? Right. And they're like, just think, how would you explain it? And that's how I did. I said, I am a man of God and my faith. And now I say this, I say, being gay has made me a better Christian because you learn how to love. Like I truly was like, if more Christians were gay, we would have, Christianity would be really nice. But instead they're so judgmental. And I'm like, this is not what is taught and or preached and or should be happening.
100%. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the basis of everything, shouldn't it be love? And isn't it universal?
Yeah.
And I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And to be able to marry those two.
Yeah. And I also don't think it's, like you say, the organization and the religion, like one of my kids went to a Catholic school and I never came across judgy people, right? In that faith. I was like, all the people are outstanding. Where is this judgment coming from? Like, where does that exist?
Because grandma.
When you sit down with grandma, if you were to sit down with grandma and actually explain, this is what I'm feeling, most people are gonna come from love that are true faith-based people.
Yeah.
If they're really faith-based people, they are going to come from love. But there's this kind of subculture to it that, where does it live? In the bushes? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I think from my work, because I had to do a lot of healing and work. I put a lot of work in and I met with pastors and I did Bible study and I continued to do that even after I was out. All the way from telling, when I was talking to a pastor, they told me if I truly wanted to be a Christian, I would leave my homosexuality tendencies behind. Like even hearing that, it just sort of reassured me that I'm on the right path and I'm, it's just hard, for the people who are so involved in that. I hate even saying this, but it's so true. Like that business. Because that's at the end of the day what it has become and what it was never intended to be. The Catholic Church owns the most land and has one of the biggest businesses in our world. And I think once I realized that, it's like, oh, it's this is the business side of things. This is not God's side of things. Right. It helps me weirdly because I was that church, that's a business.
Right.
Like they are a business operating and they made a business decision by taking a stance against me and members of my community. Not excusing them, not saying it's right, but just I will not be a part of that business and I will not be supporting that business and I will not be contributing to it. So,
You can't take away my God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can't say that I'm not Christian because that's you. Who are you to say that?
Right.
So, right.
Yeah. And it's been really cool. It's been really rewarding because when I first came out, I didn't really feel like I had a place in the LGBTQ+ community. Like there wasn't, I was met with some criticism and also I didn't really know where I fit in. I didn't really watch Drag Race or I didn't, I wasn't part of the parade. So I'm like, what am I doing here? And it took me a while to figure out my lane. And there's a lot of Christian gay men. There's also a lot of men in the middle of our country that need representation and help and understanding that you can be all of these things too and still be gay.
Right. So,
yeah.
And how's your family with everything?
They've been really good. They've been really supportive. Bless them. They did not sign up for the TV career that I got myself into.
Right.
And they're sort of, not collateral, but they get hit with some shrapnel every once in a while from just how public my life has been. And they've been the best for all this.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
All that support.
Totally.
Yeah. And you have your husband now.
Yes.
Which is, I'm sure, the biggest support.
Yeah. I would say, I get asked every once in a while, did you feel like The Bachelor was a waste of time? And I always say, I learned how to date with such intent from that show. Because I filmed 3 seasons in 1 year. So, it was a really intense filming schedule for,
The Bachelorette, The Bachelor.
In Paradise and
you did Paradise.
Bachelor.
How did I forget Paradise?
10 days. It was a crying nightmare for me. But
okay,
yes.
Maybe
you were no sleep, no air conditioning, not a good mix for me. That was a mess.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was there for 10 days or whatever filming that.
But Paradise was always like the most fun to watch because it was such a shit show.
Exactly.
You know.
Fun for the viewers.
Yes. Not for you.
We had crabs in our bed and it was hot. And it was not
crabs in your bed? Oh, yeah, not the STD kind, but the literal kind.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, yeah, I did that. And then, you know, obviously after I came out, I went on a bunch of dates and then met Jordan. And
yeah.
It was casual when we first met and then it just progressed. And I try to keep it as private as possible at the beginning of it, just because like I had been obviously in a public relationship and it was not healthy for me. So we tried to protect it as much as we could. And then once it got out and we sort of just went with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful.
Well, it's also adapting to, I think that there's boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Like you can... Like, because you guys are doing the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you can choose what you put out there.
Right. So that's the thing that he's been so good at. Jordan isn't really a public person. Like
right.
He likes to operate behind the scenes. He's really talented at what he does. He's in social impact and politics and sort of at the cross section of culture, celebrity and politics and social mm-hmm. impact. So he's very much a mover and shaker behind the scenes, mm-hmm. but it's been really healthy for me too, because I'll go to do something and be like, let's think about this for a second. And like the old me is just like, I just go and do it. And
right.
he's
right.
like, what are the, you know, repercussions of you saying this or doing this? And
right.
really good it's partner helpful. For me.
I was about to say, that's a great partner yes. to have, yeah. to be like, hold on.
Let's think about this. I think I need that a little bit. Like, I definitely do things without thinking.
He was the best thing for me. Like aww. Being able to sort of rein me back in, and I'm a more is more type guy and he's a less is more. And it's a good marriage.
Yeah. For sure. That's great.
Yeah.
Marriage. And you guys actually like had the wedding and like did the whole thing. And
yeah.
That is just so cool.
I know. It's just, it was special. And
yeah.
Cause I basically, when I knew, I was just like, whenever you're ready, you can ask me. I was like, I've already been there, done that. Just like you take the lead on this one.
And how long did it take?
After I said that, probably 3 more months.
Okay.
Yeah, it happened very quickly.
Was he your first relationship with the man?
My first like emotional relationship that I connected with. Like I said, I mean, I went on a few dates.
Yeah.
And I'm not really a grass is greener type guy. So once like we hit it off, I was like, this is everything and more than I ever needed.
Aww.
And then just fall more and more in love with him every day. It's truly the best.
It was meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, it was seriously, and I wasn't looking for it, and he wasn't either, and it just like that's how it happened.
Yeah.
So
wait, did you say you were set up, or you were on an app, or what?
No, we after the Netflix show, there was a Netflix wrap party at Hotel Figuero downtown, and we went there, and we were on the rooftop, and he was part of the group that was there. We said hi, and then 2 months later, we were both on a trip to P-Town in Cape Cod.
Oh,
and
that's random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bad weather happened and we ended up having to be sort of indoors the entire time, and we just bonded for 3 days straight, and it was really cool.
So it just happened naturally. Just right place, right time.
Totally.
I love when, especially when like weather has something to do with it. You're like, that was written in the stars. Totally. Like, you know,
we were at like a house party and everybody was like partying, and we were like watching a movie in the living room under a blanket, like holding hands. Like,
it was just
yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I used to always say, I'm like, whoever I have that moment in the rain with, like, I'm going to marry them. Yeah,
our first kiss was in the rain.
Oh, there you go.
I mean,
you're living out my fantasy.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
It was great.
It is great. Yeah. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the podcast.
Yeah, Daddyhood.
So,
yeah, I mean, I was sort of in a phase where I was like, okay, Jordan doesn't really want cameras back in the house. So like reality television of like following my life is off the table now.
Got it.
Respect it. Totally. Got actually it. Think
yes.
it's good.
Yes, totally.
But I was like, when we first started the fertility process, my agent at CA was like the only one who helped me build the team, because like there wasn't anybody who had information or was like public about it.
Mm.
So I sort of saw this need for men, especially, to speak up around fertility, because when I first got tested, I had no sperm. So and that's actually more common than a lot of people think, but men have, and myself included, an ego attached that was just like, what do you mean? Like, that's the one function we can do and contribute towards sex and towards building a family.
What are you talking about?
They don't like to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I will. And we went through, you know, the process of just starting a podcast and doing that. And it's been awesome. I feel like it's helped so many people.
You guys should have my husband on. I hear him. I overhear him talking about men's sperm every day because he's a doctor.
Oh, you're like, no, he's a porn star.
He's a porn star. You'll like
Hot,
him.
Great.
No, but I hear it day in and day out is him working to get men's sperm count up because it is so common.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about it. And a lot of the times, a lot of these guys are doing like performance enhancing drugs.
I was on testosterone too for different, I had low T coming out of football, and that is actually somewhat of a birth control for men. Like it serves as it.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But nobody talks about that. Why? I don't understand.
Long reason. In my experience, I think our sex ed system has failed us in many ways, but I would have loved to have been educated on what products, supplements, medications affect my sperm quality and count during a sex ed class instead of learning how to put a condom on a banana. I think like that is something I could say confidently and what I think is part of the problem. And then also just men struggle to have vulnerable conversations. So when hard times come up, men don't like to talk about not having sperm to other men. That's not like a topic of conversation.
No, you guys don't just like
in
the locker room.
No, not something you talk about quite often.
Right. So,
but to your point, because I had some, you know, sperm experts and also fertility doctors come on. Right now, sperm counts are decreasing by 2% every single year for men.
Do they know why?
It's a mix of diets, medications, products, and I mean, all the way from, you know, there's slight data that shows cell phones in front pockets, materials of different types of materials of underwear.
Really?
Working, like for me, it was hot tubs, saunas, steam rooms, Pelotoning.
What?
So anything that like comes in touch with the scrotum and or heats up the temperature of the scrotum, it cooks your sperm. And it takes 3 months.
Sperm.
It takes 3 months to make sperm. So,
This is very.
And it's so fascinating.
It's so fascinating.
I know. Yeah.
So that's just what you're diving into all the time.
Diving into it. Yes.
This episode of Broad Ideas is brought to you by Maybelline. For over a century, Maybelline has provided accessible makeup to give everyone the self-confidence to express themselves. As the number one makeup brand in the world, Maybelline has the platform and the power to make an impact from the inside out. That's why they've created Brave Together, an initiative designed to help those facing anxiety and depression by funding free, professional, one-to-one support so that no one has to struggle alone. Mental health challenges like anxiety or depression can be so difficult to manage on your own. I myself, as I've gotten older, struggle more and more with anxiety, and I've had my own experience with depression. Knowing that you can have help, seek help, there is help, and Maybelline is supporting that is truly wonderful. Have you ever noticed a friend struggling and not knowing what to do or say? Maybelline New York created the Brave Talk training to help people navigate mental health conversations with their friends. It's brave to ask for help. Let's be brave together. If you or someone you know is experiencing anxiety or depression, Maybelline New York is funding free, confidential support. Text TOGETHER to 741741 or visit maybelline.com/bravetogether to learn more. Support for Broad Ideas comes from IQBar. I love IQBar products. I need a little help in the morning to get my brain going, and I feel so good when I eat their brain and body boosting bars. Start each day right with IQBar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three. Get 7 IQ bar flavors, 4 IQ mix flavors, and 4 IQ Joe flavors. And today, our listeners get an exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping. Just text IDEAS to 64000. The ultimate sampler pack is a great way to try all IQ bar products and flavors. Refuel smarter with IQ bar's ultimate sampler pack. That's 7 IQ bars, 4 IQ mix sticks, and 4 IQ Joe sticks. And now our special podcast listeners get 20% off all IQ Bar products. Plus, get free shipping. To get your 20% off, just text IDEAS to 64000. Get your discount. Text IDEAS to 64000. That's IDEAS to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See term for details. So that's just what you're diving into all the time.
Diving into it.
You're just getting into
the I bet you didn't have on your bingo card talking about sperm on your podcast, but I mean, here we are.
Let me talk about
okay,
sperm.
Okay, great. All right.
I hear it every day. I'm not even kidding. My husband will be like, I got someone this amount of sperm. I'm like, they got someone pregnant. Like, he gets people's sperm up.
Yeah.
And he's always so happy because he'll take people off things, put people on like supplements and that's what he does.
So
like,
what did you do to get your guys going?
So when we went in, just to give you like a basic line of where we're at, they like gave Jordan the doctor presented and goes, Jordan, you have 55 million sperm per sample, like this was great. And they go, Colton, you have 4 and they're all dead. And I was like, oh, okay. And so it sort of hit me really hard, and he was so supportive, and he helped support me in making all my changes. But I basically just cut out everything. The only thing I had going for me is I don't wear underwear. I go commando. So like that was like the one thing I had in my favor. But I got off of the medications and entered essentially, I did sperm rehabilitation on my own, just with supplementation, different products, this incredible product called WeNatal. These two badass women founded this company, and it's just like really cool prenatal vitamins for both men and women.
There we go.
And it really helped boost. Yeah. Shameless plug, but I mean, I vouch for them and like the product because it helps. So,
and you stopped hating your balls.
yes, that too.
Here's something I would love to know if you guys have talked about, because a friend reached out to me recently, and you know, he's probably like 40 years old, hasn't had a kid. And he's like, you know, what's not talked about is not necessarily fertility with men, but men that want to have a baby and haven't. And as women, we talk about that all the time. Like, okay, well, sperm, what are your donor options? Sperm donor. Yeah, sure. And there's these men that are silently suffering with the fact that they haven't had that opportunity yet. And he was like, it would be an amazing conversation for you guys on the podcast if you would talk to men about that experience of wanting to have children. So I'm curious if you guys would talk about that in your podcast, or what your thoughts are on that.
Great. I mean, great question. I do a lot of work of just humanizing the fertility experience in general. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I've said over and over, and I will continue to say, is I feel like IVF is severely misunderstood as a whole from the general population. I think most people, when they hear IVF, they think last resort. That's like the desperate measure for women and or families to get pregnant. It's like, oh, I have to do IVF. When in reality, IVF should be a preventative medicine and a tool in your toolkit to expand your family. And we should sort of reshift to the focus, and or I'm a big advocate on obviously women freezing their eggs at a young age, but also men, because you never know, you know, later on in life, any health issues that come up. All the way from, you know, childhood cancer. I have a friend who used their, like, I just had him on and he talks about it so I can say it, but Jesse and Justin. Justin had cancer as a young boy, and his family and mom had the knowledge to freeze his sperm at 14.
No
way. And they used his 14-year-old sperm to make his IVF baby.
Are you serious?
People, it makes me want to cry.
What beautiful parents.
Beautiful. Right.
Like having the force. That's...
So I think just shifting the conversation of fertility to preventative medicine, like anything else in life, is really important. And also, I just think it's important to acknowledge that like family planning has changed so much over the years. People are prioritizing their career and prioritizing families on their own. Solo families, to your point of your friend. Like men, I knew I always wanted to be a dad. I could probably confidently say, even if I didn't meet Jordan within 3 years, I would have tried to become a father one way or another. Like, it was a goal of mine. It was something that I felt like I was born to do. So things of family planning has changed so much.
We just had this conversation how like even women, like they want to do it older, or men or whatever, just because, like, to your point, career, life, you just, I mean, in my experience, like, it makes sense.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 32.
You're 32. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're still young.
And my husband's 41.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like exactly when Yep. It's happening. But it's so cool that you guys are being so open and having these conversations. Yeah,
we've had a blast with it. And he's been such a sport. He's joined me for a few episodes now. And, you know.
So he's not afraid to
He's on the pod. I'm really proud of him because, you know, he even told me that this year that was one of his goals was he really wanted to work on it. Because, like, we'd be out in public and a Bachelor fan would come up and they would ask Jordan, like, what did you think of this? And he's like, I didn't watch. He's like, I started to sound like a dick. Yeah. Like, support my husband. So he's like, you know, I do realize, like, we sort of have a role and a responsibility as a couple to really, so like, cool. give back a little bit and also educate. So he's really done an awesome job with doing something that's outside of his comfort zone.
Has he watched any of it now?
He's watched all of it now.
He's watched all of it.
And that was outside all his three comfort seasons. Zone.
I didn't watch with him. He just watched my Bachelor season.
Okay. I was going to say, what did he watch? he watched your Bachelor season.
It was funny. I didn't watch with him, but I would hear him like either laugh or, you know, our pillow talk would be, why did you keep her? And I'd be, so we had to get into it.
That sounds fun.
That does sound fun.
Like he loved Hannah Brown and then like he was so opinionated
Hannah
with it all.
Was on here.
Oh yeah, we had Hannah.
Oh, she's the best.
She's so awesome.
Yeah.
I loved her on the show like because she was just herself.
Yes.
Right?
She's one of the most authentic people I think I've ever met. Like the first date Hannah and I went on, we talked about this on her podcast, but she couldn't get over the fact that there was like a dangling mic. You know how like on set they have mics? And she's like, I can't focus with this fuzzy thing in my face. And I was like, actually, it was weirdly a breath of fresh air, but at the time I'm like, we're making a TV show. Come on, help.
You're like,
come on, help me out here. I can't like keep like this is feeling like a lot for me here. She's great though.
He
watched it all and he was like, how did the audience not know you were gay? And I was like, you're just watching it through a different lens now.
Totally.
So that's why.
It wasn't like that wasn't what people were questioning or anything.
No.
Like, no. Like it was just you were honest.
Yeah. As honest as I could be.
As honest as you could be within the realms of a highly produced show.
Yes. I think that's it.
And people always talk about how highly produced it is and like the expectations.
They have a job to do and they're very good at their jobs.
Right. Yes. Apparently.
Right. Yeah. Very good.
But I love that your husband is like, we have an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is
very enlightened.
Yeah, and respectable. And it's also true. And so many people are provided platforms. And it's like, how are we adding to the world benefiting and how are we subtracting? Right?
Totally.
And it sounds to me like you guys are making a choice to add quality into the world and educating people. And so much of what men go through is silent.
Yeah.
Freaking suicide with men, like men's mental health, men's fertility, the things that men silently struggle with is not okay. And we as women can do what we can do to nurture that. But you need men out there saying it's okay to be vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hit on a good point because like oftentimes women bear the burden of men not, you know, knowing how to ask for help and or being vulnerable and practicing vulnerability. So oftentimes when they are, it's with their partner and the women in their life. And it's a hard position to be in for the women too, because everybody has their battles.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, I became, after my own mental health crisis, I became a big advocate for mental health. I mean, you know, I was on Lexapro and Xanax for a while, just with depression, anxiety, as you know, like TV had its ups, like his pros and cons. Like it was fun to be famous for 18 months. And then it was fun to make money, how I was making money. I was like, I never thought this life would be possible. But then, you know, it has repercussions and it has a negative effect too, that nobody really talks about a ton.
Right.
And there's like that dark side of television too, that, you know, when you're off camera and your show goes away and you're not relevant anymore, do people still hold value? Do you value yourself?
Mm.
And that is something that I think, you know, men should talk about a lot, because men are very performative based in a lot of things that they do. So when they're not performing, they don't feel like they're adding value to themselves or a situation.
Oof. Yeah.
Tough.
I know.
But myself included, yeah.
Yeah, but you've been so open, you know, even with your struggles. I know, like, obviously it's been publicized and people have watched or at the time watched what you were going through. And but you kind of did put it out there to a certain degree. But it just goes to show now, like, talking about everything and being vulnerable and the journey and all of it is what I think that people can like look up to and learn from and really respect, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even being able to wear a ridiculous costume and sing.
Yeah.
Is like.
I know. I mean, the lovebird is what I was. So.
Of course you were the lovebird.
Yeah. I was just saying, you know, it was sort of like, everybody's like, it was so on the nose. I was like, it was, but it also had such a deep meaning for me because.
Why?
Because I sort of, for the, like, you know, for the first time got to love and appreciate myself for things that I hated myself for so long. So it was like, everybody's like, oh, of course he's a lovebird. I'm like, no, I'm a lovebird because like, I finally had like self-love for, and you know, for the first time in a long time. And of course, Jordan, and I will always be his lovebird too. But it was just like, there was a cool freedom for me to like, it is so full circle and had so much like doing a show like The Masked Singer, like putting a mask back on and going on because I wore a different type of mask when I was The Bachelor. And like, now I get to put this mask on and go do something that I was like terrified to do, but was so fun. And like, that was my first time back to TV where I actually like wasn't dealing with a heavy situation. Every other show I've done, I had to like talk about something or explain something, or it was so serious. So like when people see me, they're like, oh, you like smile and have a good time. It's like, that's who I am.
Right.
Every time you saw me on TV though, I was like dealing with something that I had to talk about. So.
Right.
Do you feel less exhausted? Because I find that the most exhausting thing, like I could be busy all day long doing a million things, but when I have to fake anything, that is exhausting. Like, it, you know what I'm saying? Like when you have to muster up that, like, I don't feel this way and I'm going to put a mask over it. And that to me is exhausting.
Yeah.
Do you feel more energized from the freedom of that?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Loaded question, but yes. And it wasn't so much like exhaustion for that. It was more so exhaustion from keeping my story straight, because like I live such a compartmentalized life where my high school friends never met my college friends, because I would tell my college friends I was going home, but I would tell them that I'm like having this great time in college, and meanwhile I'm like either sitting in my room alone and or like trying to like secretly explore men in a physical way. And so I never felt comfortable. It was so, it's like a spider web of lies.
100%.
And then you're not like intentionally trying to do it because you think you're protecting yourself, but then it's just, it gets out of control very quickly.
Yeah.
And it becomes, super exhausting in that point.
Yeah.
Keeping your story straight.
Yeah. I mean, lying is exhausting.
It is.
I should know. No, I'm just
kidding. You should stop doing it. No.
I want to know if this is a less serious question, but like, so do you get to conceptualize and come up with your costume and the name and everything?
She's like, we went back to the class.
No, I will say this though. No, but. They do such a good job at that show.
Yeah.
Like I come in and they're like, we have this all figured out. What do you think of this, this, and this? And
got
like,
it.
I would give them feedback.
Yeah.
Costume, not so much. Like costume, I was like, great, whatever. Like, and they hit it on the head. And they're like, what? And they would work with me and be like, what does this visualize and mean to you? And like, that's sort of how they build your story, which is just, it was such a healthy experience. Everybody has different experiences in Hollywood on shows. This was one of the best, like, from start to finish experiences I've had.
And it's so under wraps because nobody can know who anyone is.
And I don't even know who else is on my season.
Wait, you don't?
Oh, you
I mean, Kevin Hart got eliminated night one in my block. And
so,
then
you only know once they're eliminated.
Yeah, like Billy Bush has been eliminated. Savannah Chrisley got eliminated. Cisco got eliminated. There's like a
Cisco,
few.
Cisco, he's a singer.
I there was talented singers on there.
Hey,
I mean more that, but
and just, you stayed know, in.
I just heard the thong song, and I'm like,
Oh my god,
that's so okay. Well, these were the important questions, guys.
Now
I'm
gonna ask a really heavy one, and then she's gonna go back.
I'm going back to paradise.
I love it.
I'll be like, I have a question. Do you feel deep darkness in your soul? Yeah. And she'll be like, what about the
Bachelor in Paradise? So tell me more. What was your drink?
Yes.
But I do have a question because I. You know, you spoke on the experience of getting that fame and experiencing The Bachelor and all that attention, and then going into the pandemic and going inward. And I feel like you came out of it with self-love, and obviously that manifested into partnership love, right?
Yeah.
But what I hear in that is such a gift. I'm like, the darkest things. And like most people wouldn't think getting famous or going through that is dark, but it ignites the ego in a way that I don't think most people are prepared to deal with.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. your self-worth, and you're questioning all that to the point where you hit your knees and be like, who am I? What am I here for?
Yeah. And cause there was a lot going on in the media, and for the first time I wasn't in control, and like, that was hard. And like, there was things out there that were like half truths and things that were being said about me and or yeah. articles. And it's like, you can't, I mean, I don't know if you've dealt with this in the past in your history, but like, you can't just like debunk half of something. Like, you can never just right. take accountability right. for half. You sort of just have to be like, yeah, this is, I mean, this is, because there is no picking it apart. So
right.
at a certain point, you know, I basically, after I was healthy enough to start, you know, working with my team again to like figure out what was going on. And also, I didn't come out to them right away because I came out with my therapist. So to them, they were just confused. They were like, this right. is not who we signed. This is not who we know. This is not who we've been working with for the last 4 years. What is going on? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, like, you know, I moved back in with my dad. I surrendered my medication and my phone to him. And like, I was, you know, sort of in an intense healing time. Mm-hmm. So not a lot of outside people, which ended up protecting me because that was when it was sort of the worst in the press. So he yeah. sort of strategically did that for me.
That's smart.
But it just, I think I finally just had the conversation with my therapist as I was healing through it. And I was just like, I'm just going to own everything and just say, I fucked up. I'm a, like, I need to work on myself a lot. Mm-hmm. And I did the work. I put the right. work in.
Yeah.
And that's life. And that's what I like. I try to remind people, and not only the LGBTQ plus community, but all the communities out there, is you will fall short at some point, mm-hmm. whether it's yeah. severely yeah. and or minorly. But it's like, how do you respond to that? And like, right. that's what I sort of is cool from me taking from like my athletic career is like, you mess up, right? Like, that's yeah. the value of sports that I like want my kids to play so bad.
we just talked about this too.
Yeah. Yes. So like, I'm fighting with Jordan right now. Cause I'm like, if our kid is, you know, here, they're going to play sports.
Yes, they are.
I was like, there's so many yes. life lessons to learn from sports.
100%.
You need to learn how to lose. You need to learn how to have a bad game, because life does not always go to plan.
100%.
And that was like the silver lining for me as I got back on the horse.
Yeah.
I owned as much as I could, mm-hmm. what, you know, what had happened in my life, and I moved on.
Right.
And I'm not like, I'm not in a position where I'm like, I'm not giving up. Like, I'm not just going to go away. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to put work in. I want to be a part of all these amazing, beautiful communities that I've sort of had my back turned to for so long. Mm. Here I am.
Right. And
it's been great.
Support for Broad Ideas comes from Posh Peanut. Your kids grow fast, but that doesn't mean they have to outgrow their favorite items after only a few months. Posh Peanut gets it, which is why they make super stretchy and colorful clothes that seem to grow with your child, so you'll get longer wear out of those adorable styles. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, and stylish clothing for kids and families, designed in-house from beautiful florals to your favorite brands such as Hot Wheels, Disney, Hello Kitty, and Barbie. Their pieces are made with ridiculously soft viscose from bamboo that stays soft even after you wash them over and over again. And their high-quality fabric is 4 times stretchier than cotton, so it grows with your child. It's also breathable and chemical-free, which means they're delicate on your baby's sensitive skin. And Posh Peanut is loved by over 1 million parents and also adored by all your favorite celebrities and influencers. We can't say their names, but if you know, you know. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code BROAD. Go to poshpeanut.com/broad and use promo code BROAD for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/broad. Promo code BROAD. Support for Broad Ideas comes from Paired. Mother's Day. Love it. I have a funny story. A gift I received was a pair of socks. Now, listen, I love socks. Not exactly what I think of for Mother's Day. If they're like the super cozy, soft socks, then okay, acceptable. This was not from my child, FYI. This Mother's Day, let's prioritize the gift of connection with our sponsor, Paired, the app for couples.
The Paired app is the perfect gift for that special someone in your life because instead of asking them to do more emotional labor, you're taking the initiative to connect in a meaningful, life-giving way. To use the app, you and your partner both download the app and then pair together. Every day, Paired provides the questions, quizzes, and games you need to connect with the person you love. And the best part is that you don't need to be in the same room to play, and it only takes 5 minutes per day. Share the love this Mother's Day by going to paired.com/ideas to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. That's paired.com/ideas to sign up today. Let's give the gift of connection this Mother's Day. A happier relationship starts here. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's, and we're amazing. Here to take you back to all the stuff that made you go to the
love
it. No. because during the pandemic, you were quarantined with your girlfriend at the time and her family,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of when everything sort of
shit
hit the fan, so to speak. Because I just remember seeing things in the press and whatever.
Yeah. I was doing because my book was coming out at that time too.
Right.
So I was doing press for my book. It was a memoir.
Right?
Which even in the book, I was like, I'm not gay. And
I'm not gay.
Yeah. Well, it was called Finding Myself and Looking for Love on Reality TV. And
and you're like, it was all a lie.
It wasn't all a lie, but no. It was definitely it was hard.
I imagine. And because that's all coming out and you're like, I'm supporting this and I have to promote this. And a lot of your truths weren't in there.
And then even when I was going through my mental health crisis, they were, because it became a New York Times bestseller, and then they were re-releasing a paperback version. Mm. And so that was happening at the time all this was going,
it was too much at once.
It was a lot for a human being to take
it's
on.
It's actually.
So.
For anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And were you having conversations when you were in the relationship at the time with her, were you ever honestly having these conversations?
No,
it was never.
It
was not on the table.
There was definitely times in my past with all of my exes that I wish I would have handled differently.
Yeah.
Where I could have you only know what you know and you only feel safe to a certain degree. And I wish I would have opened the door a little bit more to some of my exes where mm-hmm. I could have been just seen maybe a female energy and or ask.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I ever would have actually fully been honest, but
right.
There could have been moments.
But you weren't fully honest with yourself.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be.
So you, right.
So there was every, even I remember, any of our gay friends in town when I was living here, I wouldn't want to hang out with. Because they have a gaydar. They're going to be able to sniff this out.
Oh, they're going to not.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I really tried as hard as I could not to be gay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exhausting.
Yes, point, it's very exhausting.
It has to, because I just think of having, I have two boys, and I'm like, I would never want my kid to have to ever pretend that they were anything other than what they are.
Mm.
Totally.
You know, that is a tough thing to go through. And also, I understand why you didn't say it to any of your exes, because in your mind, you didn't want to hurt them.
Yeah, I think that was it. And what I ended up doing is hurting myself and hurting people I was, close to and or close to me by doing it. But I, as much as I try not to live with regrets, I could always admit things could have been better. I do think, unfortunately, things had to happen how they had to happen. And I say that because I don't know if I would have came out without the pandemic, without hitting rock bottom, without feeling like my life was over. Truly, as dark as that sounds, I mean, there's a lot of men out there that are closeted and or married and have families. And, my heart goes out to men like that. And I think at the end of the day, that's sort of what I'm most proud with the Netflix show is hopefully I stop some men from entering into a life that is inauthentic to what and who they are.
Right.
Because that easily could have been me. And in a perfect world would have been me if I didn't go through and experience what I went through.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think, so there was a blessing in hitting your knees.
It's, yeah.
You know.
But that's what they say. That's why.
Darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's true. And it's almost like the elevator to it. You took the, mm-hmm. the fast ride
Fast ride.
Yeah.
Fast ride up, down, fast which
ride. Whatever. Fast you're ride going down, down
and then up. It was a slow ride up, but slow it's ride yeah. Up. I like but to think I'm there. Still on the elevator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You absolutely are. So. And everything you're doing, you know, it's just proves that.
Yeah.
It proves you're on the elevator.
It proves
still
that you're
still
on the elevator.
Still on the elevator
here. Up.
Yes. Yes.
We will attest.
But yeah.
But it's just, it's so refreshing, your honesty, you know, and just being willing to talk about it and in the public eye. And it's not easy to do.
Yeah.
So we really commend.
Thank you.
I commend it. I mean, yeah. It's
I don't.
She no. doesn't.
I do, only speak I do, for I myself. Do.
Yeah.
No, but then, yeah, we like to have a little fun.
We're going to have a little fun.
Do you, do you like fun?
I love fun.
It's your thing?
I need fun.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Good. Okay.
These might be heavy. They might be fun. We don't know Great. What we're going to get.
I don't even know what's in here. Like, have you ever looked at your wiki feet? That's a card in here.
That's a good yes. question.
You have. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know how much gay men were into feet until after I came out, and I was just curious what my score was. I had a good score.
What is
that
a good score?
I like to think it was like a 9 okay. out of 10, which is
where have you exposed cool. your feet that they have pictures of?
Any story that I've ever posted on my Instagram yeah. and yes. or post that has my feet, they've zoomed in and cropped in only the feet. It's a wild sight if anybody's ever been there.
People are really into feet out
they
there.
They really it's like a thing. Feet.
I think they either rank you out of 9 out of 10 and or out of 5 stars, but I feel like I was like in the upper 80%, which
you
is
were
great.
Somewhere right?
I felt good.
You felt yeah. good.
Yes.
You're like, my feet won today.
It was a shock. And I was like, cool.
You know, like, do the athletes, masked foot.
Yeah. Who's in this sock?
Who's in this sock?
That's a long toe yeah. in there. What can you say during sex that you can also say at the drive-thru window?
Ooh. Part of it, and this doesn't have to go towards Jordan. I think you forgot something.
Oh.
I love it.
I like it.
I love it. What? It's kind of boring. What's your weirdest turn on?
My weird turn on?
Do you have one?
Weirdest. Not your weird. What's your
yeah,
weird?
Yeah, what's your weird turn on? Because we know you have one.
two thing. Well.
Yeah, go for
you're
it.
You're safe.
Weirdly, feet now. I don't mind feet.
And
I'm not like
I'm
obsessed
down.
With feet, but I like feet. And then there's just something when like Jordan doesn't wear deodorant.
I know what you mean.
A man smell.
100%. Yes. If you're in love with that man, their yes. smell is like, yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
Pheromones.
Yeah. Pheromones.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you thought about this morning?
Coffee.
Always.
Love coffee.
Always. Love.
Yes. Need coffee.
Is it not? I get so much joy, and I talk about this, setting my coffee pot at night. Yeah. So I just press a button.
Yes. Yeah.
Joys.
I have this brewy machine where when you roll over and take your phone off airplane mode, you can brew your coffee.
What?
So I load the pod, close it, set my cup down. It connects to my phone. And when I, because I sleep with my phone on airplane, I take my phone off airplane mode, undo our security system, and then hit my coffee. And by the time I get downstairs, my coffee is ready to go for me.
You are next level.
It was the best that thing
is,
ever.
That is hot.
Yes.
That is coffee. My weird turn.
I get, so, yes. I get up before Jordan, like an hour typically on average before him. And yeah. that is my hour of me time.
Yeah, coffee.
So I have
yeah.
my morning coffee, send my emails, catch up on work,
yeah.
you know, do what I need to do to start my day.
Hey, why enjoy on, it why because on, it ain't going to last.
I know. I know that.
Yeah. Why do you sleep on airplane mode? Is it like a signal thing?
It's not a signal
or
thing.
Just to
I just,
be like
to be completely
even,
not even like, because I think oftentimes like yeah, you don't even realize it if you see your phone light up, it's like a signifier.
Yeah. yeah.
So I always just turn my phone on airplane mode so no notifications come through.
Great. I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
That could probably help with your sleeping.
Yeah. That's why I do it.
Huh. Yeah.
That. Was that you or me?
You.
What's the scariest animal you could take in a fight?
Ooh. Wait.
Casper gave us
scariest animal I could yeah. take in a fight.
Yeah.
I've seen videos of them and I know that they're ferocious, but what? I would love to go up against a kangaroo.
Oh.
Because you know, like, kangaroo can actually yeah. box and fight. I want
to. Oh, that would be like, actually
I
box fun.
Yeah. Not like a jacked one. I just want, like, a mid-sized one.
Some of them are so... Those. I'm like, how
they
is
have
that even
pecs
possible?
And biceps.
Fully. 100%. Like, have you yeah. not seen
Do they have a wiki feet?
They probably do.
They have a good pouch.
They have a good pouch.
They give good pouch.
Yes.
It's giving pouch.
It's giving pouch.
When was the last time you apologized and for what?
Oh.
Jordan and I only fight in the car. It's a problem.
Like, depending on who's driving?
I only let him drive now when we're together because, like, it's smart. Just... You learn. So the last time I probably apologized was to him after a car fight.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like that's common.
Yeah.
What's the dorkiest thing about you?
I love playing video games. It's how I shut my brain off.
What is it?
Xbox.
Okay.
Smite. It's a God's game.
Okay.
And I get nerdy. Like, it's, you play like Thor and Loki and
It's like real dorky.
It's a real nerdy dorky, like headset on in the game.
Oh, you play other people online and you guys are all going at it.
Yes.
Thor is fucking taken down.
Loki and
What's the other one?
Hercules is in it.
Hercules, no, but there's another one.
Odin is in it.
Okay. I only know
there's a lot of
Descendants. I don't know if it's a Disney movie. Yeah. My daughter loves Descendants. Know.
Yeah.
And they have gods. Okay.
Yep.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a dorky one.
That is a dorky one.
What's the best sound in the world?
Ooh.
The whole world.
I would say the beeping on my coffee machine to like notify
you that it's done. You are my fucking spirit, soul, and everything good in this
world. I know
world.
Exactly the chime of my morning coffee. Yeah. So I'm like, that is definitely like the sound of joy.
Seriously. So,
yeah.
That's a good answer. Everything.
That or like a tea kettle whistle. I think it's really
anything that's
going
to
cool.
contribute to your caffeinated intake.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Probably a Wordle hint for today.
Because sometimes cheat?
I don't cheat, but
sorry,
like
I don't
there
cheat.
Are sites that don't give you the answer, but they tell you like think in this direction.
Got it.
I only do that if I get to guess five because I have a streak and I don't want to lose my streak.
I get it. I know it's important.
So I need the help.
Yeah. If you had to live in a TV show you grew up on for 1 year, what would it be?
It would either be Friends or Boy Meets World.
Mm-hmm.
I had a crush on Topanga too.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's that. A lot of people did Topanga too. Topanga's a big winner.
Topanga is a big one. Yeah. She's a big winner.
Yeah. She had a lot of.
For your,
I think I totally wanted to be her growing up.
I wanted her hair.
Yeah.
And she had really pretty eyes.
They don't make TV like they used to.
They don't. They really, no.
All these content's great, shows. But all these streaming and bachelor shows, ugh.
I know. What's the funniest moment you've shared with a stranger?
Ooh. Ooh. I could tell you a fun moment that ties back to daddyhood. We went through all of our processes to remain anonymous with our egg donor or just like protect our identity. So she had never met us, but my doctor's office shares a building with California Fertility Partners. And I was like out of it. And I was like, I accidentally parked in the fertility side of things when I had a doctor's appointment. Mm. And I went to get on the elevator and our egg donor was on the elevator.
How did you know?
You told her?
No.
Oh.
Because I obviously like we get to see pictures of her and see videos of her, but she doesn't know who we are.
Oh my God.
And she was going in for one of her egg retrieval appointments. And I didn't say anything. I remained confidential, but I called Jordan right after. I was like, it was meant to be. Like I just ran into her, like no makeup, fresh out of the shower. Like it was so cool. And like she had a great vibe. She was very polite.
Aww.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing is that baby's in there.
Well, we can't
say. No, that's an egg donor. So she was getting her retrieval. At that point, we hadn't even made our embryos.
Wait, but any of this should we not keep in that you saw your egg donor?
No, you can keep that in.
Okay.
They just haven't announced.
So that's a common though, but that's also like, you can leave all this in because like that's a common misconception is like, egg donor is different from the surrogate.
Totally. Right.
So we retrieve the eggs, then we make our embryos, and then we put the new embryo in.
And then you pick a surrogate.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really crazy to think that we've had our eggs in us since we were born. Like
all of the eggs you'll ever have, you were
born with, which was in
a crock of shit.
Well, crock of shit. It's so cool.
They can keep producing. We have just given
but we've also held them. Our whole, like, since we came in, we had a little bit of them.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I'm frying mine over here.
You're just frying
He's
away.
He's boiling those fuckers.
Well, we're just dropping them like
You guys have your, you have your egg reserves.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
What's your favorite junk food?
I love Reese's Pieces.
Mm, yeah. They're good.
And Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Those are sort of my guilty pleasure. And peanut popcorn butter. With a lot of butter and salt.
You like popcorn. You like going to movies, sounds like.
Love.
Do you ever put the Reese's Pieces in the popcorn?
No. I have to separate. Sweet. I have to separate my salty sweet and sweet.
Salty.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Is there a mantra you live by? Separate your salties from sweet.
That one. The mantra that I've been living with the last 3 years was I just remind myself to not compare traumas. So like traumas aren't meant to be compared. Mm. So I think oftentimes, especially out here, like you find yourself in a position to compare always. And traumas aren't something like my coming out experience will never compare that to anybody else's coming out experience. And any type of traumatic event should not be compared. So that's, I don't know if that's like a mantra, but.
No, I love that. I've never heard that.
Me either.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, quit heating your balls.
Well, that too. Stop wearing underwear.
Don't wear underwear. Go commando.
Go commando.
That is the tattoo.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I've never heard that. I've never heard someone say that before.
No.
I think it was just, I don't know when it came up. I think somebody was saying something and criticizing me when I came out. And I was like, why are people comparing their trauma to my trauma? I was like it's so different.
Flexing. Yes.
Yes. I was
trauma
like,
flexing.
Yeah. Like, don't trauma flex me. Like, mine.
There's a lot of people like, you know, compare. And I was like, I'm not devaluing your traumatic experience. It was hard in a different way for me. Like,
yeah.
So that's, I think, where it came from.
And also, we never know what someone's trauma is. I've said this to a lot of clients that I work with when they'll be like, I know this sounds so trivial. And I'm like, there's nothing trivial. No. Like, your experience is your experience. Just because you're upset you didn't get the car you wanted.
Totally.
Doesn't mean that there's not something underneath that that's really hurting you some story attached to it compared to someone. We don't compare.
Yeah.
Right? And there's nothing that's trivial or beneath. It's like.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah. No trauma flexing.
No trauma flexing,
you guys.
Stop flexing your trauma.
Stop flexing your trauma. All right. Well, Daddyhood, it's out
everywhere you listen to podcasts and on YouTube. So
you're on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can see your cute little face.
Yeah, the
you
mug.
You can see all of the guests come on.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. We're so excited.
Love what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're just so, so rad.
Thank I appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you for coming here.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Bruce Springsteen, Rob?
I don't have strong feelings in one direction or the other.
Okay.
He's a little beyond my generation.
Are you calling us old? Young people love The Boss.
Sure.
But that's like when we were young, if someone's like, do you like Led Zeppelin?
Not the same.
We wouldn't be like, it's above my age. We'd be like, yeah, they're amazing. Just because someone's older, like we like everyone.
I'm not saying that's the only reason. I think generationally is.
Okay. Who did you grow up with your parents listening to?
My dad listened to a lot of like Motown.
Really?
Same with Jeff's dad.
And jazz.
Oh. Interesting. What about you?
Like yacht rock.
Yacht rock.
Yeah.
So good. The other night we were at dinner, like with the kids after tennis, like the moms, we all get dinner. And like they were playing just yacht rock. And I go, we always do, okay, forget, not in love anymore. And then every time I see, you know,
every time I see you.
Leah does it the best.
Yeah.
And then it came on and I was like, you guys, and I got so excited. But all night long, we were just like
fucking feeling good.
I had to go to one of those at the Hollywood Bowl.
Wait, that sounds amazing.
You had to?
You got to.
I got to go to, it was like Christopher Cross.
Yeah.
Great, groovy.
And Kenny Rogers.
Wait, love did it. You know any of the songs?
I mean, I know like just culturally some of the songs, but.
Did you rock out?
Nope. It was for Rosamond's birthday. He got like a big group of people.
Oh, got it.
That's tickets funny. For that.
I love my it. Household was Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, mm-hmm. The Cure, Neil Young, like all that kind the of vibe.
Cure.
Yeah, I threw that in there.
Your parents were listening to The Cure?
Oh yeah. My dad. Oh yeah.
See, your dad's younger.
My dad's a music dude.
Yeah.
Like concerts. My first concert was the B-52s that he took me to. Like,
the B-52s?
You know, he was just like,
yeah.
He's always gone. He took me to Springsteen many times.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very much rock concert music dude.
Yeah.
I was exposed to really good music as a kid.
Yeah.
I'm actually into it. My parents' wedding song was Forever Young.
Oh.
Yeah.
My parents.
They're divorced.
Yes, yeah, that was good luck.
Our wedding song was my parents' song.
What?
You know, even though we ain't got money.
I knew that. I was there.
I'm so in love with you, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your wedding song?
We had a Cat Power song.
Which one?
Sea of Love.
Oh, yeah. I love her cover of that.
And what was the other...
You don't even know.
I don't remember the first. We picked our own music for like Walking Down too. We had a couple like Andrew Bird songs.
I think you've told us this before.
Yeah.
As you're saying it, yeah. It sounds familiar. We've only been talking for.
So stop talking.
So stop talking. So I picked a Zooey Deschanel cover for my Flower Girl walk.
What was it? Briar? It was Briar. Yeah. Was one
God
of them.
God only knows.
And it was her cover of it?
Yeah.
That's cute. Oh, you told her that when we talked to her.
I did.
I remember that.
But
Briar
I
was
say,
a flower girl.
She was just a little baby.
She was so little.
She was so little.
I don't even know if she was two even.
I don't know. She was really little.
How old
little.
Was Elliot at the wedding?
He wasn't two. He was like
no,
a year.
He's a year younger than Briar. So Briar was two?
Yeah.
She might have been two. So I can't.
I know those pictures.
Oh, and Jeff and his hot dog.
Mm-hmm. I will say what I walked down to was really amazing.
Yeah, Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here comes my girl. You did. You did good.
I did good with the music.
You know who did even better?
Who?
Leah and I with our song to you.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing. They rapped. We should play that.
Oh, my God.
I need that. I don't even know if I have it.
You don't have it?
I mean, I'm sure I have it somewhere.
Leah and I that morning with my brother wrote a rap, and that was our like speech.
You guys performed it?
They performed a rap instead of giving, they were supposed to give a speech.
Mm-hmm.
And
instead,
they gave a rap.
We wrote a rap song, and that was our speech to Olivia. I mean, come on.
It was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was definitely us.
It was definitely us.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say this. I thought about this after we talked to Bobby, because remember when he was saying that the girls, like he was dating girls and they don't know who certain people are. And
yeah.
I do feel like our generation, because there was no earphones, there was no iPhones, there was no iPads, there
no
was no
earphones.
They've had headphones for
no,
a while.
No, I mean like earbuds.
Earbuds?
Yeah. Like we had to listen to what our parents listened
oh,
to.
Oh, I didn't know where you were going with this. And I was so confused.
I'm saying like on the drives, like, we listened to what our parents, so we were exposed 100%. To
the best
so much music because we didn't.
I mean, maybe the best music.
No, because we would listen
saying,
to like straight oldies and like yeah. We were exposed to all different.
Do you remember KR 401 when
fuck,
it was all
yes.
Just what they call bubblegum oldies?
The best.
But it was the best. And now, you know, every word to every song.
This
I
is
meant,
what I mean.
I meant more, it depends on your parents. Like my mom was
yes.
Playing like Jesus in the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
That's amazing.
That's
though.
Fire.
The soundtrack.
Jesus Christ. Superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, I love show tunes, so I would be great in your household.
A lot of church music.
Yeah. But that's, you know.
So it wasn't like you were listening to like.
That's why you don't celebrate yeah. Easter.
There was exactly. No joy in your life.
No, but kids those days, it's like we watched all the movies. Like we did. We couldn't just pick whatever we wanted
right.
Whenever we wanted it.
Right.
So. Now, like, my kids scream at me in the back seat what they want all the time because they know it's
Shep's like all he wants is mama said knock me out.
He's moved on from that.
I know, but I was just trying to pick one of his phases.
Yeah, that was one.
What are you trying to say? That because there's so much selection, they're not
they're getting... not being exposed to
correct so many things. They're not being exposed to discomfort. They're not being exposed to variety because they can just choose what they want.
Well, if you let them, I don't let, like, Calvin's not listening to whatever, like, weird fart songs he wants to listen to.
I know. You expose right, him but to the music you also, like.
But your kid is six?
Seven.
Seven. But when he gets to be, like, 11, he's going to be like, I want to put on my earphones. Or what? You're not going to be like, you have to listen to this.
No.
Will you?
No, but I mean, they had headphones back then, and you could go listen to, like...
Nobody got... You didn't wear headphones in the car with your parents?
I don't know.
I don't... How much of your childhood was spent in the back of a car listening to their music?
The whole thing. The whole childhood.
You guys...
No seatbelt.
No seatbelt, just music. I remember having, like, a Walkman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember... You know what album I listened to on repeat? I don't even know if you know this album. Do you remember Shy? S-H-A-I?
Yeah.
Like... The very first time I saw your brown eyes. Okay, it's like R&B group,
your 90s. Your lips said hello, and I said...
It's all I listened to.
I love that.
I remember walking the neighborhood with my Walkman and just listening to that album over and over and over.
I did that with Bobby Brown. I was obsessed with Tenderoni.
Mm-hmm. So was Rob. Do you even know what that is?
Mm-mm. I mean, maybe if I heard it.
You don't know Tenderoni?
Maybe if I heard it.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you feel older? Like the music that people don't know?
Mm-hmm.
Or like...
Your wrinkles.
Or like the toys or the movies. You know, like, is there one thing that transports you and people just don't know and you're like, oh my God, like...
It's both.
It's everything. Because
Caitlin... So, Kate, you know who Caitlin is. She used to work for us. She didn't know anything, like nothing. We'd be like, Lenny Kravitz. She'd be like,
how old is she?
26.
Oh, okay.
But at the time, she was like 22, 23.
That sounds more like her issue.
No, she just was like not exposed to it. She didn't know who, the only person she knew who they were was Rachel.
Really?
She knew who you were, and that was it.
Excited she got.
Yeah. I'd be like, Bob Marley? She'd be like,
what? Bob Marley?
She didn't know so
many.
That was
played a lot in our household. Bob Marley.
Oh, yeah.
A ton. There's a great kids show called...
Beat Bugs?
Yes.
There's the Beatles.
The Beat show. Bugs.
Yeah.
Which is all Beatles songs.
Yeah, Calvin loved that.
Yeah, so 2 or 3 years old, mm-hmm. Briar would watch it all the time when she was three. And... learned all the Beatles songs. I have these videos of her at 3 years old being like, when I'm 64. I love that though.
Yeah.
Are there any like shows that Shepherd watches that you hate? Or all of them?
I can't. What's the one now?
Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah.
Those are like videos. He can't watch the movie. The movie's too scary.
Yeah.
Vincent loves Miss Rachel right now.
Oh, that's she's good. The latest rage.
Yeah, but that's yeah.
Or like he has been a rage for a while.
Love Miss Rachel.
He calls her mama though, and Natalie. Natalie does not like that.
That's hilarious. Wait,
that is amazing.
He'll be like, mama, mama. Oh. When he wants to watch it. And she'll be like, Miss Rachel, say it right if you want to watch it.
That's really funny.
I wish Shepherd would watch that. That's good for their learning.
Yeah.
Shepherd doesn't like things that are good for his learning.
Shepherd likes very, very
violent.
Yeah. Dark, violent things.
He does.
And do you just don't think that you should not have him watch that? Or what's your stance on that?
I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I don't know why I don't think it's bad. I'm like... It's not real. You know what I mean? It's not like he's watching Dahmer. It's like it's animatronics.
You know it's not real?
He said, I mean, he's really into it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. It's his first thing he says.
I know.
Like on FaceTime, and he'll just, that's what he's going to talk about. Once we talk about it.
We don't even really let Calvin, because he'll have nightmares, and then he'll wake us up, and we're like, all right, no more Scooby-Doo.
There's no nightmares,
right? Oh, my God,
right?
Scooby-Doo. So mild and tender. No.
It is, but it's scary.
Doesn't have nightmares. He doesn't get scared. Like,
well, I told you, Calvin stopped. His nightmare stopped when he made that mask.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was so drew that face.
Yeah. I need to get it together. I think so. We've been talking about eliminating screens
forever, like for good.
Pretty much.
Wait, what do you mean?
So they don't get their iPads on the weekdays.
Yeah.
They only get them on the weekends.
Oh, okay, that's not eliminating them then.
No, that's not what it already is.
That's what it is.
No, that's what it is now. So they go to whatever, they get home, homework, all of that, and they get to watch a show like after dinner and before bed. And then on the weekends, they get their iPad. Shepard has now started calling Saturdays iPad days. He wakes up. He's like, is it iPad day? And I'm like, that's not okay. And we try to crowd in like things to fill their days so that they only have a limited time on it. But it's fucking up. Whoops. Ow. It's fucking up their heads because it's like they won't want to be where we're at because they'll want to get back for their iPad.
Well, it's an addiction. They say iPads are very addictive.
And does addiction run in your family?
No. Nope. Never touched a single soul. Don't know about
it. So wait, so you're thinking about no iPads ever?
So no screens. So no TV? Talked to Nicole. Nicole doesn't do any TV.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Till when?
They watch family movies, which is we're all going to pick a movie. We're all going to watch it. Or sports.
She texted me this morning that her and Zev are watching The OC.
Okay, and The OC.
I've picked up Calvin over there and TV was on too.
Okay, well, she's trying. Okay.
Just poke holes in her.
So she sent me all these things to bring places. She was like, get these things, like do these things with them. Like, here's the thing. When you have kids that are like Shepard's neurodivergent, like he, and who knows if Elliot's going to have things because he has the addiction genes running through his blood. Like we can't, it's not going well with the screens. Right. It's really not.
No, I know.
And we barely, like we literally like weekdays it's no. And then, but he'll think about it and do it all, like all days just trying to get home for that thing.
Calvin has had that, and there was like mornings like when it's time to go to school and he has to turn the TV off and he would like freak out and we had to like tell him like, if you're going to act like this, we can't give you TV anymore. And then just was like no TV in the mornings until he could regulate his emotions around it better.
But he's typical. That's the thing, is that there's no, like Shepard, all day yesterday, I took him to soccer for his first soccer practice. It was horrible.
Oh, what happened?
Horrible. He was laying in the middle of the field. He was like, he wants Bonnie the Bear. And I'm like, it's the Five Nights at Freddy things. They're not playing that. They're playing soccer. He would not participate. And he kept being like, I want to go home, Bonnie the Bear. Like, that's all he wants to do. So it's a loop that he's stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have to be a little like
strict
for a minute.
Just like eliminating and then reintroducing or something.
I think they should get to watch a show in the morning on the weekends and like.
Yeah. Family movie night.
We'll do that, and that's it.
Yeah. No, it's good. I had to, you know, I think I've talked about this before, but Briar, I would let her watch a little TV in the morning when we woke up before school.
Yeah.
And I would notice, you know, when you turn it off and everything's hard or whatever. But for me as a single mom, like if she's watching TV, I can do her lunch and the breakfast and this and that, you know. But I've eliminated that for the past like year and a half, I'd say. She hasn't had TV before school. And there are mornings she'll still try, but it's not every morning. And it is, 'cause some mornings are hard.
Yeah.
But, and I'm like, you know.
I mean, I do every morning alone too with two of them and make the lunches and the breakfast. I let them watch TV every single morning before school.
Yeah, but you, I get it. Totally.
No, I'm saying I shouldn't.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's hard because it's an easy solution.
It's an easy solution.
I'm stressed. I have to do all this shit and I'm going to put the TV on because it'll distract him for a little bit and you need a break.
I will say like Briar has always gotten her iPad on the plane. right? But she's not as into like all the game. Like she'll get into it and there's certain games, but that's just kind of how it's been. And I'm not like super hardcore strict, whatever. It's just kind of what we got used to.
She flies 2-3 times a week.
She flies all the time. No, but it's just like a thing, you know, but she doesn't crave it in the same way, but she does TV. TV is very like at night, you know, there were like 5 nights in a row where she didn't get to watch something last week. And she's keeping track. She's like, Mom, it's been 5 nights where I haven't been able to watch something. I'm like, but you haven't been able to because think about what we were doing. Like it was all fun things or friend things or whatever. I'm like, so that's more important. Like we're having fun and that takes up the time and that's okay. And then we come home and go to sleep, you know?
Which I think is the best. Yesterday was the first day from start to finish. There wasn't an ounce of TV.
Really? From morning to bedtime?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Calvin will just wake up by himself in the morning and go sit in the living room and watch TV.
I also, it's confusing to me because I also think kids need that. And need breaks, like just like.
Well, and it's like 40 minutes of him. Like I'm taking Vincent to go get coffee when he's doing that.
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, I just think for us, it's like it's just like a glass of wine for some people is good. For us, it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah. I think that screens for
us. Well, yeah, you have different circumstances.
It's intense, but I have to do this thing now where I'm like, all right. I'm going to give you 3 seconds where I'm nice mommy. And then after 3 seconds, you're going to get mean mommy. Do you want mean mommy? Because I cannot control my children. They are hellions. And I'll have to be like,
one. And then they like rip off their shirts and like, bring it on.
They're insane. They're literally like.
What do they say? Are they afraid of mean mommy?
This morning I did it to Shepherd. I was like, if you don't get up and we're going to go brush your teeth. I'll give them a certain amount of warnings. And then when it's like enough is enough, I'm like, I'm going to count to 3 and then I'm going to be mean mommy. And so I was like, 1, 2, 3. And then I like swooped him up. He's like, you're mean. I'm like, just like I told you I would be, you know, but like he's not like there's nothing I can do that makes them
listen
or scared of me. Which sucks. Like, I'm like, what else do you do to get a kid to, like, be scared of you?
Yeah. It's a little chaotic over there.
It's beyond. It's like.
I know.
And I know the people are like, you wonder why your kid is acting up. Stop giving them sugar. We also need to stop giving them sugar.
At all?
At all.
As you drink your sweetened matcha.
Maybe like one treat on a weekend.
They're just going to trade like things that they're addicted to though, too. That's how Calvin is. Like it was when he couldn't have TV, he was obsessed with that. And now it's desserts and when he can have it. When the next time he gets dessert, he always wants to trade days. And what holidays are... He asks me almost every single morning on the way to school what holiday is next.
Well, he doesn't hope it's not Easter.
Yeah, it's just please, jeez.
Like, there's Christmas, there's Thanksgiving, and there's 4th of July. That's it.
Oh, boy.
Hardcore. I will say Briar does get dessert after dinner probably every night.
I know. So do my kids.
And I give her treats in her lunch.
Yeah.
I'm not talking candy, but she'll get a cookie.
Like
or
a granola bar.
Granola bar?
That's a lot of sugar.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Not like,
look at when Jeff was like, he's like, we need to get serious. He's like, you're not insulin. What is it? Your glycemic rate, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, it spikes to a certain number. This is all fucking, I'm saying it all wrong. But basically he was saying one bowl of white rice spikes your glycemic level higher than a bowl of ice cream.
What?
Yes. And I was like, wait, what? He's like, you don't understand what you're doing to your children when you feed them this food. You're spiking their insulin. You're spiking their glycemic rate. And they're crashing and then they're wanting more. This is like a fucking cycle. And so it's all the carbs, granola bars, like bread, pasta, like all of that stuff spikes their insulin. So you're just like fucking them up. So I'm like, you're telling me I should just be feeding them fruit.
What is the solution?
Fruit, vegetables, and protein.
I did tell Natalie that the other day.
Fruit, vegetables, and protein.
She's like, I just spent a lot of money at the grocery store and it's all for these kids. Mm. And I was like, well,
that's get nothing.
Get them vegetables and fruit. And that's all they can eat.
Yeah. So Jeff now wants to do no screens and no processed food.
It's a lot of work.
No plastic. A lot of work.
Yeah.
You guys look, we can only do our best. Move to the mountains too? Farm your own food?
Well, he does want to move to the mountains.
Yeah, he would love that.
It's a lot of work, you guys.
You're like, I'm not doing it.
No, I do what I can. Like, there's no TV in the mornings.
Outside of that, the kid's eating cookies.
Yeah, she has cookies for breakfast. No, and lunch she doesn't play on her iPad.
The only... He tells me I shouldn't even be feeding them cereal at all.
And that's extreme. Like,
it's the same as eating a bowl of ice cream.
Cereal?
Yes.
What cereal? Are you giving them like Fruit Loops?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay.
Briar has like, well, maybe this is the same thing, like Rice Krispies with strawberries in it.
Yeah.
She really likes that.
Yeah, it's bad. Just, it's an anti-nutrient. So what it's doing is it's taking the place of where nutrients should go. Mm. So anytime we're eating those like empty calorie carbs, we're taking up the space that should be going towards nutrients.
Okay, yay.
You want to answer a question? My pregnant wife told me that seeking to put our child up for adoption is the only solution to feeling unsupported. How can I proceed?
Put your child up for adoption.
My wife and
what?
I
don't understand.
Cool. So like she's not feeling supported?
Wait, guys, we're about to hear the whole question, which will maybe give us some details. If you have questions after, that'll be the time for them. Okay. My wife and I tried getting pregnant for almost 3 years, as long as we've been married, and finally succeeded in February of this year. She's about 8 weeks along now, and she has had many of the harshest symptoms and intense discomfort to the point of frequent exhaustion and rarely the ability to stand for long or be out of the house much. She was searching for a job when we conceived, and we agreed she should stay home while dealing with the harsh symptoms rather than attempt to work. Currently work 40 hours while attending online school for an associate's degree. And try to donate plasma to supplement income. I've done my best to bring her or get her anything she needs, take her to doctor's appointments, give massages, support her physically. I'm also with her for all of my time outside of working, donating, and doing homework. She let me know I need to support her by handling the household responsibilities that she's not able to do, such as vacuuming the house and cleaning her room, cleaning her bathroom, wiping down the kitchen. I already handled most of the responsibilities of our husky beforehand. I admit I often struggled to keep up with that part prior to the pregnancy, such as keeping up with dishes and folding or laundry after washing on a regular schedule. And I understand the added stress of them not being fully completed regularly. I will improve on my handling of them, but recognize I still don't always keep up with it all. She recently let me know that me failing to follow through on all of the chores and not completing them fully has led her to feel that I am not showing her enough support. And if I'm not giving her my all, then how can she say that I would do that for our baby? She let me know that my lack of support throughout her suffering has made her believe giving the baby up for adoption is the best for them. As we would not give our child the best life if I fail to support her and her struggles as a result.
This is very heavy, loaded. I don't know. It's a lot.
Throughout our conversation, I let her know that I'm sorry for not making her feel as supported as she deserved. And I'm willing to do all I can to help her feel that she's given.
How old are they?
26 and 25. I'm willing to do all I can to help her feel that way, given that she feels so extremely. And I hadn't properly understood and adjusted accordingly. I also told her I don't think that threatening to give up our baby was the appropriate response to me half-assing certain chores. She said that it was appropriate given how she received no support and it was a threat because she would be talking to the doctor about our options. She eventually agreed to give it up until the 25-week mark to judge my improvement on the matter. After the conversation, I'm left feeling somewhat unappreciative for what I've done to support her so far. but mostly conflicted that she feels the best choice for a situation is to threaten adoption. Any advice on the situation is extremely appreciated.
I mean, she sounds a little extreme.
Yeah. Well, I think there's your side, there's my side, and then there's the truth. Right?
Say more.
Say less. I think that's his version. I think if we got her version, yeah, it would probably look a little bit different. Because if that is the truth, like if his side is factual, then what I would say is she's probably dealing with some really intense hormones.
Yeah, that's where I was thinking.
Yeah, and that I would absolutely seek a counselor of some sort, because I don't think the amount of chores that the person does is going to actually equate and transfer into her feeling supported.
Right. There's some communication things and her probably feeling anxious that they're about to have a baby and if they can handle it. And she's dealing with exhaustion and all also, of these pregnancy symptoms.
I don't know when this was written. She was like 8 weeks. Maybe we should hear from them again in her second trimester.
Should we call them?
Yes.
I think it's probably intense hormones is what I think it is.
But also she was having horrible symptoms, he was saying. So like, she's going through it.
She's going through it.
But and then she's getting frustrated when the laundry's not folded.
It sounds like he's doing a lot.
I know, it
does. That's what it sounds like.
But she's at home just like stealing of like, he's not doing this, he's not doing that, he's not doing that.
Dude, I remember when I was about 8 weeks pregnant and I was working. This was when I was pregnant with Elliot. And I remember going to work and I was working for an amazing woman. Like, I loved her so much. And someone came to the house to clean the house. And I was so fucking freaked out about cleaning products that I went home to Jeff and like cried hysterically and was like, I can't work anymore. Like, I can't do this. And he was like, you're not even like showing. Like, what is happening here? But I remember feeling
that feeling,
like unsupported, terrified. Like everything was out to get me, even the cleaning ladies, cleaning products. I remember feeling like there was no amount of rationalization that could have made me see that like my reaction was not proportionate to what was going on.
Yeah, well, and I think at the end of the day, that's probably not how she feels, and it's how she's lashing out and dealing with her irritability and discomfort.
Yeah.
And hormones and all of those things. And that maybe he needs to try some different methods to make her feel more comfortable.
I remember you worked until what month?
I mean, 37 weeks?
Yeah, 37 weeks.
What?
I stopped at 8.
At 8 weeks.
It's like, I can't do this. Jeff's like, I don't even know if you're pregnant.
Like, I've always wanted a baby. I can't work.
Every time your period's late, you're like quitting your job.
Yeah.
You know, it was so extreme. And then I remember like Rachel sending pictures of her swollen feet at 37 weeks being like, yeah, I didn't make it past week 8. Is that a birthmark?
This is.
Tell us about it.
When I was little, my mom's friend said your birthmark looks like the food that your mom ate the most when you were in the tummy.
Which was what?
I don't know. I think she was
like
a
rigatoni pasta.
I thought it reminded me of chicken. Do you have a birthmark? Do you have a birthmark?
Somewhere.
But then now that I think about it, I think she was just, you know, moms like say funny things.
Yeah.
Because her daughters looked like a piece of pizza.
What? Wait, that's just clean. You start crying, you're like, but now I realize she was just saying that to me.
That the world is a lie.
Did you know that those marks on your face are not angel kisses?
What? Okay. Thanks for playing, everybody.
You gotta pay to play.
It's time to play
Yeah.
Rob's never allowed to
play. You know what's really sad? 2 seconds. What's really sad? I told you this. Is it when, so because of Family Feud, for Family Feud, they sent a car to pick us up, right? I get in the car. The driver doesn't see me. He's like looking out the window. I get in the car and he's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I didn't open the door. I didn't see you there. And like starts like freaking out. I was like, it's fine. I was like, I could tell you were looking out the window, but I'm totally capable of
opening a door.
Mm-hmm. And he
Rachel's
went,
not.
He went, wow.
Rob.
he said, you know what? We're a dying breed. I said, what do you mean?
I picked up Rachel Bilson earlier and she wouldn't.
Stood there. Now, I understand standing, like if you've got a bunch of stuff and you need help, right?
People are standing and making him get out and open the door.
He said, I was like, tell me about it. And he's like, there's not many values left. He's like, there's not many people that value what people do. And he's like, it's really surprising people's attitudes that the fact that you even would suggest that you could open your own door is shocking to me. Yeah. What kind of people are out there? A-holes. Guys.
A-holes.
Stop being dicks, right?
Rob, it's not even funny a little bit.
She's zero dick 30.
I'm zero dick 30. Zero dick.
She'd open his door.
I would.
No, she wouldn't.
Yeah, she would.
I actually would.
You would open your driver's door for you?
She's not a dick.
I open my own door every single time.
I didn't think
every
you
time.
Did it.
Like, even if they're hopping out to go, I'm like, out the door. Thank you so much.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, I imagine sitting and waiting.
Yeah.
Well, he was like, people are not appreciative.
I've seen that often.
And that breaks my heart.
Really?
When people are being dropped off.
That, really? Like, they wait?
Yeah, they wait in there until the door is open.
Okay. Be nice.
Be nice.
Open a door for someone today.
Yes.
Please.
Please. Please and thank you. Good night.
Good luck.
Goodbye.
Godspeed.